Embark on a journey with us where resilience meets opportunity. This is the Dirt Road to Success.
Hi, I'm Skip Colvin, and welcome back to Dirt Road to Success. So one of our guests that was on a while back, Christian Collins, here in Great Montgomery County, is back with us today. Super excited to have you back on the show. We're going to talk a lot about the Texas Youth Summit and really everything that's going on with that event and that movement. And so I'm so grateful you're here. Good to see you again. Hope everything's been going well for you.
Skip, thank you so much for having me on. Really appreciate you, and I've enjoyed our friendship.
Yep. Well, let's just dive right in, right, Christian? Texas Youth Summit. It's a great event. It's great opportunities, great movement throughout the state of Texas. Tell me how you got that started.
Yeah, I started in 2019, and we've done it for 5 years. We're going on our sixth. Mm-hmm. It's an educational organization that works to equip young people with Judeo-Christian and conservative values. And okay. So we make this event completely free between the ages of 12 and 26. And we feel that young people between especially the ages of high school and college are figuring out who they are and what they believe. And that's why it's so important that they have a firm foundation that's built on the rock, as the scripture talks about, and not on the sand. Mm. Based on my own past experience, I grew up in a pastor's home. And I know full and well that even though you grow up in a pastor's home doesn't mean that you have the right values. You see, I went off to college and didn't know why I believed what I believed. And I had really nice teachers who happened to be liberals. And they'd show us Michael Moore videos. And these, again, weren't bad people. They were just people that had different views than me. There are leftists today that are really radical. But there are some good liberal people, so I want to differentiate between that. But when I think about that experience, not knowing why I believed what I believed, there was a time where I thought I would vote Democrat for Barack Obama. Thankfully, my dad turned me on to the great Rush Limbaugh, and that helped me decide that I was going to be a Republican. But, you know, I was a Christian, you know, growing up, but I'd kind of wavered in my faith. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't made my faith my own. So in college, I was still agnostic, and though I was Republican. It was some time later, about a year from then, that I gave my life to Christ after reading Lee Strobel's book, A Case for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the apologetics helped my mind believe that it was possible that Jesus Christ did, in fact, raise from the dead and die for our sins on the cross. And so all of those, you know, lessons that I learned in that book loosened me up in my mind, but it was really a hard experience that I had, you know, at the altar one day at a church that I had gone to that really solidified me, and I decided that I was going to live for God. It was a beautiful thing. It was a 180 turn for me, but you see, I was so heavenly minded, I was no earthly good in effect. I didn't want to do politics anymore. I was majoring in government, and I viewed it as something worldly, and I didn't have much use for it anymore, and I wanted to go into ministry. I wanted to, you know, speak or preach and, you know, maybe plant a church one day, which are all good things. You see,
yeah, those are all good things.
My dad was a pastor, and, you know, I had a conversation with him around that time, and he said, well, that's a very noble idea that you have there, but why don't you just continue to go forward in what you've been doing? And if you want to go back to seminary later, you can. But, you know, he encouraged me to go forward. I went to Liberty, and I got a master's degree in something else, which enabled me to teach at Lone Star College for the last decade.
Yeah.
And so it was a good degree that I got, you know, but I found myself some years later working full time in politics. And I worked part time at the college, and I was also doing a extracurricular campus ministry there. So it was like I had my politics in one compartment, my education and another, and then my ministry in the other.
Right.
And it was really traveling with Ted Cruz's father, Reverend Rafael Cruz. We traveled to all these different churches and places. I spent hundreds of hours with this man, and he really was an incredible reverend. I was like his armor bearer in ministry, but in politics, that's called a body man. And so we spent time together, and it was that experience that helped me connect my faith and my politics, because they shouldn't be compartmentalized. They really should be, you know, hand in hand. And that was the bedrock for me starting Texas Youth Summit. I wanted to combine education, politics, and ministry. And so we want to bring in some of the best influencers politically as well as from a faith-based point of view to educate these young people with the right values. And it's awesome for these young people to come all across Texas, even actually part of, you know, from different parts of the country. And we've had people from Canada and other places who have come to be a part of this huge swell of people. We've had at one of our events over 2,000 people. Mm. And they're there and they're inspired, and they want to get involved in the political process and make a big difference to save our country.
Well, and that's a, man, that's a big sandwich to eat right there. So I want to back that up just a little bit. And I heard some things that I just want to make sure we put some emphasis on.
Yeah.
So obviously you were growing up in a godly household.
Right.
Your dad's a pastor. So it's not like you weren't hearing the word of God.
Right.
You weren't around the word of God. But even through all of that, it was later on that you became an actual believer and follower of Christ.
Yeah.
And college is one thing that I have sensed over the last few years for sure have really been trying to shift our youth in a different direction. Between the anti-Semitism, which we talked about on the previous podcast, to the critical race theory, to the liberalism of Marxism and socialism, and putting all this emphasis. And then I hear what you're talking about is where our youth that ages 12 to 26, 27, whatever you said that was, needs to have a truth factor, basically. Someone to show them the actual truth. Someone to show them and said, hey, here's what we need to look at from a conservative Christian values approach, which goes back to the biblical worldview. And so as I hear your story, which is a big sandwich, right? But I hear your story, but really, you were probably called to this ministry, because it is a ministry, any way you look at it. You were probably called to this ministry. It may not be to preach and teach in the pulpit, but it may be to preach and teach on stage the next generation of voters. Because what's happening is they're only hearing one side of it, Christian. They're hearing the side that the liberalism and the teachers, the radicals, which you mentioned, are teaching, which is totally opposite of our core values as believers. And so if they're not hearing it from their parents and they're not hearing it from their friends and they're hearing it only from their teachers, they're only getting one side of it. But what you're doing is empowering these young people to make a decision, to make a choice. And I would love to see 100 years from now how big this movement grows and how it impacts the future of the nation. If we don't have true future politicians with biblical worldview and Christian values, then I'll be honest and say our country is lost.
Yeah.
And so your Texas Youth Summit, although it's really hyper-focused on Texas, and I know you have some folks from other states coming in, this could be a movement across the nation that actually gives a great segue into our next generation of leaders. You know, it really bothers me a lot when I look at the news, and I hate watching the news anymore, but I look at the news and I see people that have been in office 50 years. That's really not, it's not the way it was designed.
Right.
You know, we should come out of the communities and serve our public, serve our communities, and then come back to the public and work in those communities. But I'm a huge proponent of term limits. That's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother show, but I want to tell you, this Texas Youth Summit is very, very exciting to me because I see you working in a way grassroots to actually shift and shape the future of the nation. You're starting in our communities. You're starting in the metro markets of Texas. You're starting in Texas in and of itself. But this movement could be something that shapes the future. So if we were going to talk about Texas Youth Summit, which is texasyouthsummit.com, right? They can go and check it out, the different things that's going on. Talk about some of the leaders that you have picked to come and speak and instill wisdom and knowledge into these youth of today. Talk about some of your speakers.
Yeah, Donald Trump Jr., Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. We've had Corey Mills, Wesley Hunt, Lance Gooden. So those are some good Texas folks there.
Yeah.
And
I mean, MTG, Georgia, Donald Trump Jr., I mean, national stage.
Ted Cruz,
yeah.
Allie Beth Stuckey, Riley Gaines, Yamini Park, Myra Flores. And so we've done a lot of work to educate them with the right values, and we need influencers that they look up to be a part. And so we've been very blessed to have some amazing speakers. I think this year it'll be even better. So it always gets better. So,
and when's the next convention or event?
Yeah, we're going to announce that soon,
okay.
But we just have to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
Sure.
But it'll be a fall summit, and you know, we'll have that date out as soon as we make that available. So
great,
yeah.
So our viewers, I'm just saying this: keep an eye on TexasYouthSummit.com. Make sure you go in, get registered, join, do whatever you have to do. But parents, have your kids involved. Youth, if you're watching out there, get involved in the Texas Youth Summit. It is the next generation of voter. It's the next generation of leaders at all levels, not just at a national level, but it could be city council. It could be state representatives. It could be commissioners. It could be future county judges.
We want young people to feel inspired to get involved in the political process. And there's a lot of ways that you can learn, and you can work for other elected officials. You can go work for think tanks. You can get involved in journalism. You can start a podcast. You can do a variety of things to make a difference and get involved in politics. And in saying that, we don't necessarily think that everybody has to officially work in politics. We just want engaged citizens who are, you know, inspiring their churches, you know, to take a leap of faith and get involved in the political process to save this country. We want engaged citizens that understand, when they look at the news, what's happening, and the information that they're hearing may or may not be true. We want them to be able to decipher, you know, that this country is worth saving, and that, you know, we need to do little things that we can do in our communities to make a difference. And if we can just take 10 people to the polls, if we can just, you know, talk to our friends and family, and maybe sometimes we post some things on social media in a positive way that can impact others and let people know where we stand. But whatever we can do, you know, we are going to get people engaged, other people engaged, and in that way, we're making a difference. So we want young people to just be engaged citizens, bottom line. But if they work in politics, that's great. You know, we want them to. And if they want to run for office one day, that'd be great too. So.
Yeah, yeah. And just to get engaged, let's go back and talk about that, because really we do have some generational folks that are not engaged. And I'll give you an example of that. I was talking to one person in the previous election.
Yeah.
And they said, I'm not going to vote. It's not going to matter anyway. And I said to them, I said, that's your right to not vote. But it's also my right to tell you, don't complain when something goes wrong.
Right.
Because you didn't voice your right.
Right.
You weren't able to go and cast your vote and say, you know, I did my duty. I voted for my candidate, and if you don't like what's going on, just keep your mouth shut.
Sure.
Okay? We want engagement. We want people to stand up and say, hey, I want to challenge what you think because I don't think that's right. And it's and you know what? Good conversation and good discourse like that is healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be antagonistic. It doesn't have to be an argument. It can be like, help me understand why you see it this way. This is why I see it this way.
Right.
You want that dialogue.
And to your audience, I want to make sure that I make clear that adults can buy tickets to the summit, so anyone can come to our summit.
Yeah.
And you know, in the way that you can get involved to help young people, maybe you can't change every person's life in the world, but you can get involved with maybe just a couple. And there are young people that need opportunities, and maybe they want to work in a bank one day. Maybe they want to, you know, do something in a field that they have no experience or no connections in, and you can help them and you can mentor them. You can go to lunch with them and give them some ideas and mentor someone, because as the saying goes, to the world you may just be one person, but to one person you may be the world. And so
that's true.
Taking that time to educate, you know, someone, mentor them, that'd be great. And parents, we want parents coming to this summit.
Well, you know, I need to buy the tickets, but I committed to buy two tickets. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to going.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, there are general admission tickets that'll be available. But there are VIP tickets. We're going to have an awesome VIP experience this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have an upcoming fundraiser that we're working to raise the money right now for this summit, because it's a big undertaking to be able to do this. And we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so every contribution is fully tax deductible. We also have a 501c4 arm if you want to get involved in there.
So let me stop you there. I want to make sure our viewers hear this.
Sure.
501c3, it is a tax deductible contribution.
Right.
It is an opportunity where if you want to not necessarily go, but you want to help this organization reach more youth, they can also donate.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Great.
Right. And, you know, parents, they always ask, what can I do? Well, maybe you have at least a couple of times a week, you have a family dinner where you guys put your cell phones down and you just connect with one another and talk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a parent of a younger child, you ask them, hey, what did you learn at school today? You know, that's an important question.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you spending time with?
Yeah. And what are you reading?
What are you reading?
Yeah.
You know, what are you learning? All these questions can yield answers where if you're filtering through the stuff that they're learning at their public schools, especially, and you can help, you know, talk to those teachers if they get a little wayward. As well, you might consider running for school board. There's been a lot of parents who have run for school board. There's mama bears here in Montgomery County that have felt so inclined to get involved and make sure that there isn't any sort of pornography in the libraries. Mm-hmm. And they don't want their kids learning that, you know, smuck. It's disgusting. So
it is.
As well as, you might consider homeschooling your kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I don't support our public schools. There's a lot of great public school teachers. I have family that teach in the public school system here in Magnolia ISD. My inclination on that issue is just school choice, you know, that parents have the choice where they send their child, and the tax dollars that they pay via their property taxes follow the child. And so we're probably going to have that happen in the next legislative session. Mm-hmm. In 2026, and well, it's 2025 actually. And Governor Abbott has been working hard, to primary some of the elected officials who voted in such a way that were Republican, who voted in such a way against school choice. And so he's putting his own leaders in there that will vote the right way on that issue. But anyway, I digress. But
well, let me stop you on that, because I think you're hitting a very good, important point. And a lot of parents, I want you to hear this, parents, getting involved in the Texas Youth Summit gives the empowerment and the initiative of your student to be able to stand up for what they know is wrong in the school, not just the parents. But see, think about this movement that you're creating, Christian, is that students are now empowered to stand up and say, hey, that's not right. That right. book shouldn't be in the library. Or, no, you shouldn't teach Marxism. Or you shouldn't teach socialism. I don't agree with that. And then they are now empowered to stand up for what they believe in. Whereas before, and I'm just being honest, when I was growing up in school, what the teacher taught was gospel.
Right.
You know, we weren't empowered to stand up and say, hey, I don't agree with that. I remember one of my high school teachers, sweetest lady, a British lit class. I just love Miss Hurst to death. And I'm the first day in class, I had a little attitude. I mean, can you believe that, really? No, I mean, but, and she kept me after class, and she lined me out. You know, we were afraid of our teachers then, but I'll tell you, I had a lot of respect for her, and then when I had an idea, she listened.
Right.
Whereas, you know, other teachers that I had during that time, not so much.
Right.
But now, if the movement through Texas Youth Summit, if these youth will get involved in not just Montgomery County, which is where it was born, but across the nation, then these students collectively come together and say, hey, we don't agree with what you're teaching. We don't want to learn Marxism. We don't want to learn socialism. That's not what we want to grow into be.
Right.
Now you have a movement not only with the parents, but with the students too. So I don't want to discount the importance and significance of you empowering the youth to stand up for what they believe in. It's very, very important. And what you're doing with the Texas Youth Summit is giving them that voice. And that's really what it's all about, right? Giving them their voice.
Right.
You know, so many times that the students go to school and they're like, oh, I don't have a voice because if I try to speak out, the teacher will send me to the office or I'll get in trouble or whatever. No. If you can articulate your message and you understand what your message is, you need to be able to do that and say, hey, I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't agree with what you're teaching.
Well, when I was in college, I was in an auditorium full of 200 people, and I had a professor. He's just a liberal, you know, Caucasian man who basically made a claim that all Republicans had some sort of racism, and that's why there were no black Republicans. And so I kind of stopped him right there, and I stood up and I told him that he was wrong and here's why, and he kind of got red in the face. But later on, he and I had some good conversations in his office, and he ended up writing me a letter of recommendation. The way that I tend to want to be with these professors that, you know, they're doing what they've been taught. You know, mm-hmm. they have a view, and not all of them are bad people just because they're liberal. And I think there's a right way to clash with people. You make it about ideas and not about, you know, personalities. Or
it cannot be about personal stuff.
Yeah, so
you're
don't
right.
You know, don't be angry. Don't, you know, yell ad hominems, but, you know, you should contest as a student if you're in college and you hear, you know, just awful ideas. Mm-hmm. You should contest them and stand up for what you believe in. And that's effectively what I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I learned from that experience that there's a right way to do it. Ronald Reagan talked about being a happy warrior.
Yeah.
And doing it with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And I think that was a beautiful time, you know, and I think our nation's become more polarized, and, you know, people talk about President Trump and the way that he goes about his business, but there has been no better president in my lifetime than President Donald J. Trump.
I agree 100%.
And we are living in, a different time than the Reagan era, though. And so we have leftists now that we're mm-hmm. dealing with. I mean, you know, Antifa burning down our cities in America.
We have Hamas. Antifa burning them down and then the justice system doing nothing about it.
Yeah. And my point is, though, is just that, you know, people want to lampoon and say bad things about President Trump because mm-hmm. he tweets certain things. And I would say that the time that we're living in is very different than it was 40 years ago in the Reagan era. We've never had a Justice Department and, you know, rogue, you know, crazy DAs going after Donald J. Trump and try to throw him in jail. I mean, it's never happened. You know, it's all Biden's fault, and they're coming after him in such a way that is just vicious.
I mean, this is crazy stuff going on.
It's disgusting. And so, I mean, we're living in peril times. And so, you know, for people to compare, you know, Trump and Reagan didn't have to endure the things that Trump has had to endure.
No.
And the attacks on his family, they want to bankrupt him. Thank God he's independently wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've come after him with these cases and lied about him and tried to smear him and his family. And so, you know, he's overturned the apple cart, you know, by his policies and the way that he's gone about his business. He's not beholden to lobbyists because he's been independently wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody ever that's been president like Donald J. Trump.
No.
And so we are living in peril times. It's a different time. And so, and even in saying everything that I said, I want to make sure that it's clear that I stand with President Trump. And, you know, and he is someone unlike his opponents like Nikki Haley, who, you know, she'll say the nice, sweet things that, you know, surface level voters just look at her and say, oh, I like the way that she talks. Well, mm-hmm. meanwhile, her biggest donor is funding the Jean Carroll lawsuit against President Trump. And I mean, she's out there saying, well, let's just see how these court cases go. I mean, she's the type of person that'll smile to your face and stab you in the back.
Absolutely.
I like a man like Donald J. Trump who will punch you in the face.
You know?
You will respect a man that'll look at you and punch you in the face rather than, you know, smile at you and you'll think everything's fine and stab you in the back. And that's how a lot of these Washington politicians are.
Right.
They'll be very sweet and smile at you while they fund a super PAC and smear you and slander you and say all types of nasty things about you. So never look at what a person says. Look at what they do.
I'm listening. You're firing me up now. So you open the door. Now let's just go through it. This Carroll lady, okay, this case – Some people are talking about the Tuckers, the Alex Jones, the, you know, there's a few people talking about how crazy this case is that a woman can say, oh, he did this to me.
Yeah.
But I don't remember when, I don't remember where, I don't have any proof, and he's not been convicted, but, oh, you owe me $400 million or whatever some stupid amount of money is. I mean, what kind of justice system do we have that allows that to even go through? It tells you the corruption is to the core. The corruption is not just at the judge level. It's down to the DA's level, the prosecutors, it's down to the city council, it's down to the mayors and all that. Because think about Jack Smith, right? Jack Smith is bringing this classified document case when he was president, and maybe he had some documents there that he wasn't supposed to. But you're not doing anything to Biden, who was never a president or vice president that had he was vice president and senator that did not have the authority to have the documents he had, but you're doing nothing.
Well, there's four lawsuits against him. The Jean Carroll one, this sexual allegation. Trump has said she wouldn't have been my first choice.
Right. That's how he answered that. And I love that, actually. I saw that. I love it. I'm a huge Trump supporter.
He's a little rough around the edges, yeah. But I don't think President Trump has had any problem with getting beautiful women.
She's not on that list.
Well, and that's what he's alluding to. I mean, yeah. he's married to a very beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. He's always
one of the most beautiful first ladies
elegant,
we've ever had
classy.
Since Jackie O.
Right. And so that's how he addressed that, but mm-hmm. they're still coming after him. There's the court case, Fannie Willis in Georgia. And
yeah.
of course, we've seen there that she's, you know, taken her boyfriend on all these wild trips.
Yeah. They ruled this morning one of them has to go, either him or her.
That case is falling apart.
But add to that, which is interesting, she colluded with Jack Smith and Liz Cheney.
Right.
With the January 6th committee. Now, what? What? How are you supposed to be partisan or bipartisan when you're working against that? And, of course, they destroyed all of that communication between Fannie and Jack Smith and all the communication between her and Liz Cheney. It goes back to Clinton busting up her phones and destroying, blitz beating, whatever they call it, blitz, whatever it's called, on the hard drives.
There's one more. There's another case about the presidential documents, and that's gone on in Florida. And President Trump, as president, is allowed to have to take documents with him.
Yes.
Those who classify documents, I mean, vice presidents are not. And
no.
Joe Biden has.
And senators are not.
Joe Biden has done this as vice president, and they did not go after him. But, I mean, this case is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
The case that they've said to watch is the one in D.C., and they've called what happened on January 6th, where he said he wanted them to peacefully protest, go to the Capitol and peacefully mm-hmm. protest. So Jack Smith has come after him, and they've called that an insurrection.
I got
FBI
that
agents, in the crowd, mm-hmm. such as Ray Epps,
yep.
working for the FBI, working to incite the crowd and get them into the building.
That's
and
right.
even when they got in the building, I've never heard of an insurrection. I mean, we've seen these tapes that Tucker Carlson yeah. has put out.
And what about the video of the bomber that had the bomb, and he talked to the two cops there, which
right.
weren't cops, actually. I think they were Secret Service for Kamala Harris. And then I think there was a Capitol Police SUV
right.
that they spoke to, drops the bomb off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much corruption.
It's crazy. And you look at that situation. I mean, what insurrection in the history of man has there ever been where they had no weapons, no guns? They were
yeah.
walking into that Capitol to protest and make sure that, they shouldn't have gone into the Capitol, obviously.
Sure.
But they went in there because they were going there to protest. And, it's really sad what they've done to the January Sixers, and there's been nothing mm-hmm. done about it.
Yeah, there's no, in my opinion, the day that Trump comes back in office, he needs to pardon them.
He will.
And he needs to.
He will.
He needs to file some kind of suit, and I don't know how we would do this or they would do it, but those people need to be compensated.
And I want to break down what's happening, though, about Trump, though, because what's going to happen is there's a Supreme Court case in a couple of months that'll determine whether he gets presidential immunity, which will clear him from mm-hmm. all of these cases that in some ways are falling apart anyway.
Yeah. I mean, they just dropped six counts on one thing already. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, that, of course, we have the Supreme Court. I mean, we arguably have six conservatives, three liberals. I mean, some conservatives say we really only have five. But we're in good position, I think, in that situation. And look, you know, they're coming after President Trump to bankrupt him. They're coming after him with the court cases so that he can't campaign. But he's been so strong through this process. I don't think there's any yeah. other presidential candidate that could have endured the onslaught of legal attacks, you know, from the Justice Department. And President Trump has stood his ground. He's been so
it's
strong.
Pretty amazing.
He's amazing.
I mean, how does he? I mean, he is under attack. Like, and they a very good friend of mine. I say very good friend loosely, but. But someone I talk to on a regular basis, they've been trying to assassinate him over and over. They are scared to death of him.
That's the only thing that's left. Because yeah. if you look at everything that they've tried to impeach him. They mm-hmm. tried to, you know, put him in jail through the courts.
Yep.
The only thing that's left is to assassinate him. But if you think about it, though, I mean, they're going to try and win this next election. They're hoping that these court cases could do something to deter independents. But, I mean, I almost think now that I only want a presidential candidate that's been indicted, because that means you're standing for something.
Well,
and we look at this next election, though. I mean, it's really going to come down to five states. I think Texas is incredibly important. I think it's a state, not in this election, but it's a state that's becoming more purple because of the open border and mm-hmm. all of the Californians and New Yorkers that are moving here for the low property taxes, but that import their terrible values. That's happening. So it's a state that's, you know, become, you know, instead of red, more pink, and it's becoming purple. Texas is important, but when we think about this next election, it's really going to come down to Arizona. It's going to come down to Georgia. It's going to come down to Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. These five states are at stake, and it, you know, in these states, what's so hard is that, you know, because of when you think about election integrity, they have ballot boxes, they have
yep.
mail-in ballots, and they have ballot harvesting.
They do,
and so unless we're doing what they do to the level that they do it, we're not going to be able to compete. And thankfully, there are systems in place that the RNC and some nonprofit groups they're working on chasing the ballots to get these ballots in. And we've seen, as a case study, we've seen Michelle Steele and there's another member of Young Kim in Orange County, California. Young Kim, especially, you know, with that election, she worked to do ballot harvesting to chase the ballots, and she was able to win, you know, in that way. And when you have these states that where they have mail-in ballots, where they have ballot harvesting, where mm-hmm. they're chasing the ballots, in other words, you have to play by their rules, because that's just the way it is. And it's, some of this has changed after COVID. It's really the state legislature that's supposed to change election law.
Yep.
But in COVID era times, what the secretaries of states and the Democrat governors have done, and in Pennsylvania, this was really in question because you had a Republican legislature in 2020, but you had a Democrat governor, Democrat secretary of state. And so in those situations, they, by an executive order, brought in mail-in ballots because they wanted people to stay home and not go to the polls. And so we're in a tough situation in these five states where some of them don't require voter ID.
Which is
terrible. You can't... And there's not strict signature verification. They don't purge the voting rolls of dead people. Mm-hmm. So anyone can claim that they are someone else and vote for that person, and it counts. And these things make it hard for us to win in these states, especially in places like Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, of course, where they kept out our Republican poll watchers in the middle of the night.
That's right.
It stopped in the middle of the night, and we couldn't view what was happening. And they brought
Georgia.
In all of these ballot boxes.
Yep.
And hundreds of ballots where, you know, we went to bed, Trump was up, and when we woke up, Trump was down. And they kept counting, you know, weeks on end after the election. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like anyway.
Well, let's go back to one of the original statements. How do we have 331 million people in the U.S.? And have over 150 million people vote in election. Statistically, it's impossible.
Well, they're going to all the nursing homes. They're counting. In some of these states,
there's not that many registered voters.
Right. But there are cases where the parents. I'm sorry, the children of these parents in nursing homes. I saw in Dinesh D'Souza's movie where. And I heard about this from, you know, different podcasts.
And you want to mention that movie so our audience, if they haven't seen it, they need to see it?
Well, I was recently in his newest movie, Police State, which I think is incredible.
You played a role in his new movie?
I was in his new movie. I was the pastor who got arrested.
So we got to. I'm with somebody famous.
Well, yeah. I had a small part, you know, and it was a great movie. But
yeah.
He had another movie 2 years ago. He does this every election cycle.
Yeah.
And it was about election integrity and how the election was stolen mm-hmm. effectively.
Yeah.
And so both of these movies are important. And I think, you know, whether, you know, the lawfare against President Trump, which will eventually happen against us if we don't elect him as president, or the election integrity, which they stole the election in 2020, and they're going to try it again in 2024. We just have to be ready for it. And we know their playbook this time. And what I'm alluding to is that, you know, we have to get these ballots. We have to go after them in these five states. And I think Chairman Whatley, the new RNC chair, and Laura Trump
is on it.
They're all about chasing the ballot, and mm-hmm. they're all about, you know, making sure that we can compete in these Democrats, you know, these huge Democrat cities, where we're making sure that we're watching what's going on, one, as well as, you know, in the rural areas where we have a better chance, that we're chasing all the ballots and getting every ballot that we can, because it's amazing. Nobody has ever been able to have these huge rallies like President Trump, where all these people come.
Yeah.
But those rallies in and of themselves, I mean, their voters can just stay home, and they can have people go to their houses and, you know, sign them up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have that type of system in place to be able to compete.
Well, I want to go over Dinesh's movies real quick, okay?
Because
I think you'll find this interesting. So Hillary's America in 2016.
Yep.
He did that one. America, Imagine the World. I can't remember. See the whole thing here. America in 2014. 2018 was Death of a Nation.
Yep.
Okay. And then the 2,000 Mules.
Yeah.
The 2,000 Mules is the one that you need to watch, specifically regarding the corrupt way they did the ballots. It's 100% something you need to watch.
Right.
Look, I'm not promoting. I don't know him. He's not sponsoring the show. Nobody sponsors this show. I don't want to be beholden to anybody, okay? But I will tell you this. People need to wake up.
Right.
You need to open your eyes and realize there is no statistical possible way 150-plus million people vote when there's only 331 million people in the U.S.
Yeah.
It can't happen.
Right.
And statistically, I'm working on another show that it'll be just me, and I'm going to go over the facts over the last 30 to 40 years of every election, the amount of population, the amount of registered voters, and the amount of people voted. And you're going to see in all of this facts that this is not statistically possible.
Right.
It was 100%. And in my opinion, Donald J. Trump is still my president.
Well, one of the biggest ways that they stole the election, when I'm always asked this question, you know, I feel comfortable saying that. You look at the censorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Hunter Biden laptop store that wasn't able to get out to the public.
51 liars.
And that information was pivotal. And,
mm-hmm.
and Twitter at the time took down the New York Post story about this issue. And now Twitter, of course, is owned by Elon Musk.
That's right.
And it's an incredible institution now, where it's really the town square where we get all of our information, where the news happens in real time, and everyone else is just reporting on what's happening on Twitter. I mean, everything that happens on Fox and CNN, they're looking at
all that fake stuff, including Fox. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Including Fox.
Well, all of these organizations, Newsmax, they're all looking at what's trending on Twitter, and that's where they get their information. And that's what they're commenting on. That's what they're talking about. And so my point is just to say that Twitter is in much better shape now than it's ever been. And thank God, because, you know, we're in better shape in this next election. But
well, think about the
suppression of that story in the way that, you know, Hillary's emails were allowed to get out, you know, back in 2016. That information right before the election, when James Comer came out and shared, you know, just about Hillary's situation. And this was right around the time where President Trump, they had the, you know, the situation with grab him by the whatever, you know, and that was supposed to be their October surprise.
Yeah.
But when this Hillary Clinton information, nobody cared about what President Trump had said.
Yeah.
You know, it was locker room talk or whatever. Nobody cared. What they cared about was how Hillary handled Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was valuable information.
And her famous words were, what difference does it make now?
Right. And that valuable information was pivotal when it got out to the public, and independents voted for Donald J. Trump. And I think in 2020, had independents known about Hunter Biden and his attachment, of course, to Joe Biden, which is really the most important thing.
$20 plus million or more.
This isn't about what his, you know, degenerate son does. It's about his connection to his father and how he makes his father money.
Yep.
And they've enriched themselves through Joe Biden's position as senator and as his position as vice president. Well, and they've enriched themselves, whereas the Trump family has lost money.
Yes.
And they were independently wealthy before they got in power. Joe Biden's family has enriched themselves because of their time in office, and that's not the way that it should be.
Christian, here's the bottom line, and I hope that our viewers will hear me when I say this. It does not make sense to me that someone who's been in public office for 50 years, 57 years, whatever it is, can afford the multi-million dollar homes that he does, homes being plural, okay, without some type of corruption in the background.
Right.
And I will tell you, hypocrisy from Joe Biden, who is not my president, Joe Biden is not my president, the hypocrisy of him to stand up in the State of the Union and say that the millionaires need to pay their fair share when his son did not pay his fair share of taxes. Someone else from California picked up the tab, so he wasn't indicted or prosecuted over failing to pay taxes. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And look, if I didn't pay my taxes, guess what? They're taking everything I've got.
Right.
If you don't pay your taxes, but if you're part of that elite, that place that people don't want to go to, and even you had the FBI agent said, oh, no, we were told to not investigate X, Y, and Z. Look, I'm in the banking business. If you have suspicious activity reports, that many, we're closing accounts, something's wrong, you know, I mean, there's some bad stuff going on, and yet nothing seems to happen to them.
Right.
And people, normal people like myself, like you, the grassroots people of America, are tired of the double standard. And I'm asking these people, I'm asking you, stand up. Stop voting for people that are above the law and never get prosecuted or never held accountable for their crimes.
Right.
Enough is enough.
Right.
We've got to get the vote out, and we cannot allow them to steal another election.
Right.
So with that, we got way off of the Texas Youth Summit, but really it's all about the Texas Youth Summit, because you know what? We're awake. The Texas Youth Summit is helping wake up the youth of America. And, I mean, I appreciate you being on the show. This subject, we got to come back and talk more about this, because, man, let me tell you, Christian, we could line out so many hypocrisies across the DOJ, across the fake Bureau of Investigations, the CIA, the NSA, all of them. And I'm sure that they're listening to everything that I have, and I really don't care, okay? I really don't care.
Yeah.
So, Man, I appreciate you being on the show. Anything, any last words of wisdom for our audience?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was a blessing to get to be here. If you want to be involved in Texas Youth Summit, go to TexasYouthSummit.com, TexasYouthSummit.com, and be a part there. You can also follow me personally. All my website links are, all my social media links are on my website, ChristianCollins.org, ChristianCollins.org. And last thing I'll say, look, I mean, they're fighting on every front. You know, from the election integrity front, through the lawfare, you know, attacking President Trump and his family.
Right.
They're opening up our southern border like we've never seen. We've had over 10 million illegal immigrants that have come across our southern border that we know of.
Some estimates are over 20.
And they're doing this because they want to import voters.
And he just admitted to flying 320,000 in, that so they bypassed the border.
Right. It's
this is crazy talk.
I mean, you know, and Joe Biden doesn't want to pin this on his administration, which, I mean, he's the one that did away with President Trump's policies of remain in Mexico, because Mexico at the time was working with us to keep illegal immigrants out of the United States of America. He's the one who instituted catch and release. Mm-hmm. Instead of catch and detain and deport, you know, it's catch and release. Just you catch them and then you let them go. And that's what's happened under Joe Biden's administration.
Yeah.
And so this last phony bill that they tried to put out in with the help of some really not conservative Republicans.
No, rhinos.
And they've done this to put this out as really a red herring to make it seem like they're trying to do something about the border, but the Republicans don't want to work with them. They've opened the border wide up. And President Trump, he was actually in 2018 willing to give amnesty to illegal immigrants that were already here, so long as they, Congress, I mean, when I say they, gave him the money to build the border wall and secure the border. Hmm. President Trump is a deal maker. He was trying to make that deal, and they didn't want to work with him. It just proves that they don't want to secure the border.
They have
no intention.
They have to completely shift this landscape of this nation in their favor.
It really is about voters. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether it be, you know, removing voter IDs and, you know, instituting unlimited mail-in ballots, you know, whether it be importing voters from across the southern border, you know, from other places in the world, which I didn't even talk about the terror or the human trafficking element or all of the things that I could go into from the fentanyl and that's killing Americans.
Well, I've got a border guy coming on in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a good one.
Good. Well, I mean, I would digress to talk about that, but I'm saying from a pure partisan voter standpoint, they're trying to put our former president in jail. They're trying to jail their opposition.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do that to all of us eventually.
That's right. If you don't support their views, they want to put us in camps.
Yeah, they would do away with MAGA completely, which is the majority of the Republican Party, if they could. They want to jail President Trump. So we're looking at peril times.
Yeah.
And so what I want to come back to is that we need to pray for this country. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:7 talks about praying for the peace and the prosperity of the land that you're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And God will bless it that way. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, humble yourself and pray, repent of your sin, and seek God's face, and he will heal your land. We need to pray that God would have mercy on our country so that he would give us more time as a nation. I don't believe that God's done with America, but we need more time. And I believe that God's going to give it to us. And look, you know, we don't need a pastor in chief to be president. We just need somebody who fears God.
Mm.
And President Trump has shown, you know, through his moves as president, supporting religious freedom, working to appoint Supreme Court justices that would overturn Roe v. Wade. He's shown that he's been the most pro-Christian president we've ever had. You can judge him for the things that he says that you may not like if you're a Christian, but there's no excuse not to vote for him. He is the best president we've ever had.
Policies by far are better than any president in our lifetime.
And honestly, I laugh at a lot of the things that he says.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's not everyone's cup of tea, but I have no problem with it. I think he's a little rough around the edges, but you know, I'm a little rough around the edges, and so are you.
I am too, yeah.
So we need a president who's strong, who the rest of the world fears, and Russia and China and North Korea and Iran, and all of our adversaries feared President Trump.
Yep.
They do not fear this joke of a president that is currently occupying the White House. I mean, he is falling asleep. I mean, he's shaking hands with the air. He's always bumbling over his words. He doesn't know where he is half the time. He can't even walk. He trips.
Can't answer questions.
He can't answer questions. I mean, obviously, he's falling apart before our very eyes. He's becoming more and more senile every day. We need a strong president, and we need President Trump back in the White House. It's a unilateral choice. You know, you can't vote for RFK. You can't vote for any of these other people that are running. It's Joe Biden or it's President Trump. And President Trump is going to put us in best position domestically and from a foreign policy standpoint to save our country for generations to come. He fears God, and we need him back in the White House. We need to pray that you know, Proverbs 29:2 talks about when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. We need righteous leaders in authority, and President Trump is our man, so we need him back.
Yep.
We need him back.
Well, I'm gonna finish out with this. TexasYouthSummit.com, get involved. No matter what the situation is, whatever you can do, try to do. ChristianCollins.org.
Yep.
ChristianCollins.org. Go check your stuff out. Follow you. Like your pages. I'm asking you right now, viewers, subscribe to this podcast because we got some really hard-hitting stuff coming, and I don't want you to miss it. So just go on and subscribe. It's free. I don't charge you anything like that. There's no Patreon or all that kind of stuff. But let me finish it with a couple things that I think is very important. I like what you said. We need to pray for our nation.
Yeah.
Okay? Number one, I'm going to use the infamous words of Sarah Palin in her debate with Joe Biden. Say it ain't so, Joe, okay? Because the reality is everything you've said has been a lie. Okay, you lie about your family, you lie about your politics, you're lying about everything. And look, this is probably the most controversial podcast I've done to date, but it's only going to get better because I'm tired of the lies of the media. I'm tired of the lies of these politicians that say one thing and do another. The American people need to stand up, and it's time for us to fight for our freedom. If we don't fight for our freedom, who else will?
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for all the great work you're doing with this podcast and in our community, and thank you for your friendship.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.